Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And this is Tim Grady. Thank you for joining us on this very important episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. We are doing this is another new facet for those of you who have been listening to the ISM Report on Business series. This is the hospital PMI, which is just so critically important right now. And that is an area of our economy in the services sector that is relying on the manufacturing side, which is constrained by the demand on hospital needs, and the manufacturing side is trying to source. So we have Nancy LeMaster, who is the committee chair for the ISM's Hospital Business Survey Committee, with us, and she's going to discuss what's happening in this particular sector. Nancy, thank you again for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you, Tim, for having me.
A pleasure to have you here. Why don't you give our listeners an overview of what's going on, and then I've got several questions because there's a real strain on the system right now.
Yes, there certainly is. So like the other ISM reports, we start out with the hospital PMI, Purchasing Manager Index. And if you remember, that's a combination of the scores of business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries. And if you look at the PMI index itself, it's the same in December as it was in November, 62.6, no change. But the underlying indexes tell a very different story from month to month. If you look at business activity in the month of December, it hit 74, and that was up 4.5%. I'll come back to that in a minute, but we began gathering data for this report in April of 2018. In only one other month have we hit a high of 74. New orders were up slightly, 66.5 versus 65.5, so 1%. But the real story this month is in employment. Employment declined by 10%. It is now contracting at 47.5. That's a big shift when you look at that compared to a business activity of 74%. Supplier deliveries also got worse. They went, they're slowing, but even faster than before. So they went from 58% to 62.5. So we're seeing a big increase in volume with a decrease in employment able to handle that volume, and slowing deliveries. And so that really does have a big impact on the industry. When I went back and looked at the history, the only other time we saw this kind of a spike in delivery and also saw low unemployment was a completely different scenario. When in June, if you remember, hospitals closed elective procedures. They shut down everything in April, expecting this huge wave of COVID. And what ended up happening is the wave of COVID was limited to certain areas of the country. And so in June, when they opened back up the elective procedures, you were seeing a mix. COVID was flaring, but there was capacity for electives. But the employment decline was due to furloughs. So the labor was there. It was a matter of bringing it back to take care of the volume. This time, if we look at the comments in the survey, We have comments about COVID burnout. We have comments about inability to find staff. So our employment index is putting a lot of pressure on the market. And I don't know, Tim, if you want to ask some questions before I go on to the other indicators, or do you want me to just continue through the indexes?
Well, I would like to kind of drill down on this employment piece because it dropped 10% from November to December, which is a radical shift. And my guess, and thus my question, is not that people are uninterested in the medical field. It's that either they're out, as you mentioned, from burnout, or they're out because they're sick, or they're reticent to go into it because they're going to be frontline exposed to COVID, and hospitals must be having a terrible time trying to hire.
Yes, I think that's the pattern you're seeing. When we think of hospitals, we think immediately of doctors and nurses, but to keep them running, you have to have supply chain technicians, food workers, housekeepers. These are relatively low-paid positions, and so they're going into a very, very high-risk environment. So I think you're seeing definitely people willing to take that risk and go into those environments, but as the economy opens up a little bit, and, you know, we've talked about that, and I'm sure that Tim talked about it in the manufacturing report, where you're seeing some of the areas like, you know, do you want to work in a distribution center or do you want to work in a hospital emergency room? Some of those industries do fight for the same employees.
Right, right. Particularly, and the ones that I admire are the ones who, you know, kind of the unseen heroes who are running around picking up the trash. Not, you know, not picking up before, but out of containers. And
Right. They're
in as much risk as anybody, and they're going into patient rooms, they're going into any place that there is a receptacle for that kind of waste, and removing it and, you know, hauling it off someplace quietly and politely and doing a great job. But gosh, I'd be scared stiff.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the other pressures. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the business activity jump, is that purely a COVID spike that we're seeing?
It is. I mean, if you look at the comments from your panelists, most frequently now, hospitals have, at a minimum, delayed and in many cases had to totally dispense with elective procedures to be able to handle the flood of COVID, which is now nationwide. If you remember early on, there were hot spots, but now, you know, it's hit rural hospitals, it's hurt urban, suburban. You know, the death rate is over 4,000 people per day. So, it is 100% driven by COVID based on all of the comments from our panelists. We're seeing very little elective activity at this point.
And Nancy, I think we discussed before, isn't it the elective activity that really drives the profit margins of hospitals?
Yes, it tends to be so. I think that there was some funding in the original CARES Act to help hospitals with the COVID patients. But fundamentally, you know, I always say in our other reports, if business activity and new orders are up, that means profitability. But in hospitals, that's not the case. It's much more dependent on the intricacies of payer mix and the type of patients. And again, with COVID, a big percentage of those patients are Medicare patients. So that's not a good payer for hospitals. So a lot
All
of
right.
on the financial situation, coupled with, if you look at in the index, you look at the price increases that have occurred month over month, really substantial. We had overall a 5.5 increase in prices to 72.5, but a 9% increase in those supplies. We talk about still the difficulty of getting PPE. On the news, you may have heard of the shortages of oxygen and sterile water, particularly in California. So, you know, you've got staffing shortages, which could put some pressure on wages. Significant increase in supply costs, and you're not seeing any elective procedures. So a lot of financial stress on those hospitals.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. Now, talk about a little bit about the inventories segment. I'm not sure that we all understand what inventories means in the hospital setting.
Okay. So inventories, we kind of think of in, you know, kind of a couple of chunks. But they're primarily, you know, your pharmaceuticals. So, kind of drugs do you have to have on the shelf, and supplies. And those supplies can be anything from the personal protective equipment we talk about, the gowns, the masks, all the way to implantable devices, pacemakers, and hip and knee joints, et cetera. What you're kind of seeing in this, I would say, is that we've got inventories going up a little bit slower, but it's 63.5, or I mean, yeah, it's 63.5. It's down from 67. Inventory sentiment is kind of all over the board. It's, you know, it's a little too high, it's a little too low. And the way I interpret this is the supply chain people are really struggling in that they're trying to make sure they've got enough inventory for this influx in all of the PPE, or all of the COVID patients, excuse me, they have enough PPE. But this financial pressure is also causing them to think about, well, can we right-size our inventory? So, you know, I maybe need to take down some of my inventory that would be applicable to those elective cases, right? Shift some of those dollars into my inventory for my COVID patients. So they're undergoing an attempt to right-size their inventory at the same time that we're having shortages. So right now we're seeing a lot of shortages in gloves again, and other basic equipment. So supply chain's always a balancing act, right?
Right. And Nancy, does that tie into the backlog of orders? I know in the manufacturing space, backlog of orders is a good thing. It means you've got orders you haven't produced yet. Is backlog of orders jumping from 51.5 to 61.5 a good thing or a not good thing?
That is a not good thing. So if you think of the hospitals being the recipient, right, of the product, that's not related to the care they're giving, right? That's basically saying I have inventory on order that's not showing up at my door. And when you think about Tim talking about some of the transportation issues, the dock issues on the coast, that is contributing to the need for hospitals to build inventory because the time it takes to get a product from order to deliver has gotten longer.
Oh, yes, I imagine it has. And it doesn't appear that this industry sector is in the mood to be exporting much. But what does this sector actually export, Nancy?
There's a small segment of the hospital industry that services foreign patients. So there are some hospitals that have branches in foreign countries. You don't see a lot of that, but you see a little bit of that. But you also see people from other countries coming to the U.S. for care. And so the export index there is really reflected on patients from outside the U.S. either coming to the U.S. for care or that small number of hospitals in the U.S. that provides care in other countries. So it would make sense for it to be down in the middle of a resurgence of the pandemic. You think about the UK closing borders, different things. You're not seeing the kind of international travel that you would see.
Right, right. So let's talk about imports for a moment. You did just talk about, and it's interesting that you brought it up, the dock workers, and we're talking about the longshoremen at the ports around the country who are, they may not be available to work on the ships coming in to offload the ships. Is that why we're seeing imports contracting? Or are we just, you know, we're now buying it someplace else, like locally instead of internationally? What's going on in that imports line?
You know, I'm going to have to read into that a little bit, because in the hospital world, until very recently, I mean, the pandemic really increased your average hospital supply chain leader's sensitivity, I guess, to whether a product is actually produced within the United States or it's imported. And many of the what we call the PPE products that are on everybody's mind right now, hospitals get through a distributor. And so when I see that move, I'm not 100% sure whether it's the case that we are now able to buy more of our products that are produced within the U.S., so we're less reliant on imports, or the fact that some of the panelists, when they're getting that product from their distributor, they think of it as being local, being produced in the U.S., even if it was imported by the distributor. That makes sense, because that distributor they think of is that's a U.S. company based in the U.S. That's where I'm getting my product. It's not imported, even though that it may actually be. So the import metric within hospitals is something that we're just kind of trying to really drill into and understand how much of that is really reflective of the actual behavior. Because when you go back and you think about what is actually produced in this country, especially around PPE, you know, we've had that wake-up call that not a lot of product is domestically produced. Most all of that is imported.
Well, so Nancy, in the overall, the hospital sector is really challenged with COVID at the moment. We're hearing that there is ICU bed saturation in California and Arizona and some other hot spots as this rages in our country. But at the same time, we listen to the news these days, I think, with a jaded ear, because we're not sure we're getting the facts. We're getting information, but I don't know if we're getting the facts. Is it pretty factual that the hospital industry is reaching peak capacity?
Yes, I think that is very factual. If you think of this as a very capital-intensive industry, it's not, you have some capability to flex your capacity, but it's very much a step variable. And once you get to a certain point, you can't, you know, that's when you see people going to the tent field hospitals to add capacity.
Right.
I think obviously you can't paint the entire country with one brush. So you're going to have spots where, you know, they've got capacity, they aren't seeing the volume of cases. But when you start talking about having to transport patients across state line to try and find an empty bed, it's real. It's very real.
Wow. Scary place to be. Of course, in our lifetime, we haven't been through a pandemic like they did in 1918. So this is all new to us, although it's happened before. Any sense from your respondents, Nancy, what it looks like for January and maybe February as we move forward with this?
You know, Tim, what I'm not seeing a lot of change. I think we're still going to be experiencing this, you know, balancing act of volume, trying to find enough staff, trying to get enough PPE, remembering that it's a global supply chain. So, you know, when we see spikes in the UK, when we see spikes in other countries, you know, they're competing for the same supplies. I think, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, of course, is the vaccine starting to roll out. But as we've seen and heard on television, you know, there's the logistics problem of, again, finding the labor and the people that can physically give the shots, managing the inventory. It's a big undertaking. So I think while people should be cautiously optimistic, we'll see what the report says. You know, you can always can be changes, but I would anticipate January is going to look a lot like December.
Well, fascinating. And Nancy, we greatly appreciate you coming on Manufacturing Talk Radio to share with us. I think this sector is so important right now because of the pandemic that's raging across the land. And I appreciate your insights and the work that ISM is doing to really look at this area of overall business and say, you know, what's happening? How is it performing? And fortunately, what we're not hearing is the system is broken or collapsing and the care is simply not available. So if you'd like to sum up for our listeners, again, we appreciate having you here.
No problem, Tim. I think, you know, I appreciate the fact that we are getting this information out to the industry. I think, you know, trying the ability to kind of link together how, you know, the state of the hospital industry then impacts demand on the manufacturing and service side is really important. And I think that, you know, one of the indexes we didn't talk about is the technology spend. While still growing, getting very close to that 50% mark, and that technology spend really is primarily deals with capital equipment, building, you know, those types of purchases. So economic pressure on the hospitals tends to cause them to pull back on that, which again has a ripple effect across the economy for those manufacturers making those high-end imaging devices, things like that, or the construction industry that's involved in building infrastructure for hospitals. We could see that demand weakening. So I really like the fact that you're giving us this opportunity to kind of show how the hospital industry as a whole, its health or its weakness, then can have ripple effects across other segments within the manufacturing and services industries.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I appreciate the fact that ISM is willing to work with us to have you folks on air with us to share this, because it is interesting how, transportation, a truck moving from a warehouse that has the COVID vaccine out so that it can be delivered to the hospitals or the clinics, and if that is constrained, then you have a difficult time getting it, scheduling a truck. I mean, the sponsor of Manufacturing Talk Radio, All Metals and Forge Group, occasionally runs into problems trying to get a forging from point A to point B because the truck area is constrained. So, Nancy, once again, thanks for being with us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you, Tim, for having me.
And we've been speaking with Nancy LeMaster, who is the chair of the Institute for Supply Management Hospital Business Survey Committee. Wow, did she know her stuff, and we appreciate her sharing it on this ISM Report on Business series. As always, if you would like to hear this show, you can find it on mfgtalkradio.com, or you can go to csuite.com, that's c-suite.com, which is also there as a podcast on their radio side. You'll find some manufacturing discussions from us on their TV side as well. Or you can go to jacketmediaco.com, where there are links to all of the shows. And thank you for listening to this very important episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.